Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria with Compassion Radio. For almost 75 years now, you've generously enabled the ministry, projects, and vision of our founders, Wilbur and Norm Nelson. Today, we continue to need your support and prayers. Please help us continue to offer this timely and inspiring program here each day. Your gift is needed now more than ever. Contact us by phone, mail, or online. 1-800-868-2478. And, of course, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much.
On today's Compassion Radio.
After that happened, Dan Rather said, and he said it to me, actually, in a different interview, I was wrong about the Graham trip to Moscow in 1982, and Billy Graham was right big time. So, to his credit, Dan Rather acknowledged that he made a big misjudgment.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Transcending talk and crossing borders. Building bridges and loving enemies, all in Jesus' name. Welcome, friend, to the Daily Radio Ministry Journal of Compassion Radio, your everyday update of the amazing things God is doing around the world and right here in our own backyard. It's always our distinct honor to welcome today's guests back to our microphones here at Compassion Radio, and Bram Floria will soon explain why that is clearly the case. But more than anything else today, we want to spend some time over the next few days in honoring the legendary servant of the Lord who just went home several days ago at the age of 99, the Reverend Billy Graham. Here's Bram to introduce our special guest today.
Back with us today on Compassion Radio is a friend of the ministry that has eyes for the world, David Akeman, formerly of Time Magazine and a bureau chief in Beijing, of all places. Welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you very much. Very good to be on your program.
Now, you are a soft-spoken man. You're very gentle in your demeanor, but you have a very outsized voice, and mostly through your print. You have written some important things for the church to consider over the years about the rise of the church in China, about what's happening in the 21st century with freedom in the West. You're a real treasure to the church, and I want to thank you again for that in front of all these listeners that don't know who you are. So thank you for writing so well on these issues.
Thank you very much for mentioning a few books I've written, Bram. I mean, I've had the privilege to be in so many places and meet so many interesting people. It would be hard not to have some views that were quite interesting about those people.
Now, you are not just a journalist or a biographer, but kind of a fusion of the both. I've read a lot of great biographies in my life, and I've read a lot of great reporting. And it seems like the style required to yield really high quality material in each discipline would overlap, but aren't necessarily the same thing. You have really keen insights into the people that you meet. So what makes you unique, do you think, David, as a biographer of people who are shaping history?
Well, I wouldn't call myself unique at all. I mean, there were some wonderful biographers around who've written terrific books, and I take my hat off to all of them. But I think one of the interesting things about biography is you do get to know the people quite closely who you interview and talk to and whose friends and relatives and family you also investigate. Mm-hmm. You get to know their strong points and their weak points. And at the end of it, you have to make a judgment about how you assess their liabilities and their virtues and try to draw a fair picture of both, always questioning yourself on whether you are being fair-minded and whether the facts that you adduce to support your case can be fully supported by research and so forth. So it's quite complicated. You have to be very careful.
And you have to be careful to care about the test of time. I mean, we don't want to write something that's just pop fiction, popular for a moment, and doesn't stand the test of time. You're writing things that have really eternal consequence.
Well, and as a Christian, everything you write is of eternal consequence if you are
Amen.
A writer. just as everything you say is, you're just a normal person.
Now, when you write biography, you're trying to tell the truth, and you want that balance between the liabilities and the virtues of a person. I think about literature as being all about the liabilities, and hero worship or mythology about all the virtues. Does biography inhabit both worlds somehow?
Yes, in some ways. I mean, it's hard to write a biography of somebody without coming across and having to deal with rather sort of sometimes mythological or possibly even fictional accounts of the person that depict him or her in a very meritorious light that may actually not be borne out by the facts on the ground. And you've got to weigh those issues up very carefully when you deal with this stuff.
And, of course, many people over the centuries have said you can't possibly do a genuine biography of Jesus because he never existed or because. And so investigative journalism skills come to play.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, especially with a Christian personality like Graham, of course, a lot of very enthusiastic, laudatory accounts have been written of his life, many of them very true. But an awful lot of stuff is also doesn't bear the test of time and careful research. And you really have to try to be careful to sweep up the genuine dust and nonsense while avoiding throwing out the real nuggets of good quality truth about a person's life.
And hence the good reporter's ethic right there. Again, my guest is David Aikman, formerly of Time Magazine, bureau chief in Beijing, China, and an author of a dozen or more great, great books. And, of course, the biography that's of question today, the one that's of most interest to our audience, of course, is going to be about Billy Graham. Now, David, you've written a number of times about the man, and as we've just covered, it's important to cover him as a human being as well as a servant of God, because we don't want to mythologize the man, and we don't want to strip him of the honor that is due him. The man has a profound influence on modern Christianity and on the leaders of the church going into the 21st century. There's probably no Westerner that I can think of that is more endeared to the hearts of world Christian leaders than Billy Graham, because of his willingness to go. And on Compassion Radio, we sometimes talk about the ministry of showing up, that we have honor by just getting there. We go to places where most people won't go, and therefore the Christians there honor us because we made the effort to go. I treasure that welcome and that hospitality we've received, because no one else could receive that unless they went. And Billy was willing to go places that many people would never have thought to go, especially in the politics of the time. So can you, from your experience, your time you spent with the Graham family, describe a little bit of those virtues of the Christian ethic, the missionary impulse, if you want to put it that way, that seemed to be evident in his life and in the commitment the family made together to win the world for Jesus?
Well, I can give you a very specific case, which actually involved the family in a minor disagreement for a while. In the late 1970s, Graham, faced with the opportunity of visiting Hungary, which of course was then a communist country in Eastern Europe under the control of the Soviet Union, and wanted to go very much because he thought it would open up other possibilities of travel to parts of Eastern Europe. And there was a lot of criticism for wanting to do that, because many Hungarians living in the United States, people from Hungary who had migrated to the U.S., thought that Hungary was a dishonest communist regime that had severely repressed its own people in 1956 after the Hungarian revolt. But Graham saw the opportunity of going as a way not just to build bridges, but to open a pathway to other countries in Eastern Europe that he hadn't actually been able to have contact with yet. He did go there. He had a great success. The Hungarians had a much better relations with the U.S. after the visit. And in fact, one of the high points of Graham's Hungarian visit was the return of the crown that the United States had been keeping to the Hungarian nation, and that was greatly appreciated by the Hungarians. And many people came to Hungary from even Russia and other parts of Eastern Europe because it was the only opportunity they could get in person to hear the great Western preacher Billy Graham, and that had a big impact on Christian communities in those countries.
And the politics of the time were focused around the Cold War, and most of the evangelicals or mainline Christians in America poo-pooed this whole adventure and called it a fool's errand at the time. But Billy had a different perspective on that, as you mentioned. How did the world come around to see things more Billy's way?
Well, actually, the real turning point didn't happen until just a few years after the actual Hungarian trip. In 1982, when Billy Graham accepted an invitation to attend a peace conference organized by the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia, and many people at the time criticized the decision to accept that invitation as a fool's errand because it was obviously going to be a communist propaganda peace conference, and they were going to score brownie points with communist followers and so forth.
Right.
And even Ruth Graham, for a time, opposed that trip. But the outcome of it was quite extraordinary.
Harkening back into our history books a little bit there, what exactly was the outcome of that trip? We're going to find that out and a lot more as Bram continues his conversation with David Aikman on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment. You know, friends, there's always more we can do. When you support Compassion Radio this month, your gift of any size would be such a blessing today. We can't succeed without your faithful prayer and financial support. Friend, please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free, 800-868-2478. Or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Friend, you make the victories possible. We need you. Please contact us today. Bram?
Even Ruth Graham, for a time, opposed that trip. But the outcome of it was quite extraordinary because he didn't say anything foolish or unwise on that trip. And it led to the invitations from Eastern European leaders for him to come and have missionary projects, not actually crusades, but pretty close to crusades, in various countries ranging from Poland to Romania. And in fact, here's an interesting confirmation of Billy's wisdom in accepting the invitation. One of the people who criticized him at the time of his going to the Soviet Union for that conference in 1982 was Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Rather said this was just kowtowing to Soviet propaganda. But Billy had said, no, he thought that there was a spirit of questing spirituality in much of the communist world, and he just wanted to have access to that. Well, sure enough, one of the people who he most influenced when he visited Romania in 1985 was a pastor of Hungarian background living in Romania called Laszlo Tokes. A very strong critic of communism. Now, Tokes was under suspicion by the regime because he was critical of the regime, and the secret police tried to arrest him in 1989, surrounded the church, and then, to everybody's surprise, large numbers of members of the church surrounded the church, prevented the secret police getting in, and in that act, they started off the wave of protests throughout Romania that led to the resignation and the actual execution of the dictator Ceausescu.
Yes.
After that happened, Dan Rather said, and he said it to me actually in a different interview, I was wrong about the Graham trip to Moscow in 1982, and Billy Graham was right big time. So to his credit, Dan Rather acknowledged that he made a big misjudgment.
Interesting how these great stories, David, are all appeals to authority. We respect the great reporters of our time. We respect the great preachers, and how they interact become respected stories. And that we would lay down our pride in the face of truth is a great testament to humility, which is a kind of greatness that the church understands. I can respect what Dan did at that time.
Yes, I mean, I think it's remarkable that Dan Rather had the courage to admit that he'd been mistaken at that point.
And it's marvelous to me, David, that you remain as humble as you do, although it's nothing less to be expected of you than that. You have a humility of real authority. Tell me what it's like to work with people like Billy Graham. When you're in their presence as a journalist, as a biographer, how do you kind of navigate that terrain to know that you're in the pocket of where God wants you to be at your best, serving him best with the skills he gave you?
That's a very good question, Bram. And the answer is you can't guarantee anything. You can only pray before the interview, before the day starts even. And I will admit something that I've admitted to very few people. The first time I interviewed Billy Graham in Hong Kong in 1985, I actually asked if I could pray with him before the interview began.
Amen.
Because I didn't want to make any stupid mistakes,
right,
forget questions that I should have remembered to ask him. And I didn't want to ask him anything that would embarrass him or put him in a bad light. And he readily agreed. He said it was the first time he'd ever sat down with a journalist and actually prayed before an interview. But he was incredibly gracious with people who interviewed him from the media. I mean, he would end up asking them far more questions about their own lives than they actually asked him. He put people at ease when they met him, and the media absolutely loved him. I mean, the press corps, which was often quite antagonistic to some figures, especially from televangelism after the scandals of the 1980s,
right,
would be fairly hostile, or critical at least, to some of these people in public during press conferences. They absolutely lapped up Billy Graham. I mean, it was quite a phenomenon to see colleagues who were normally very critical of public figures absolutely melt in Graham's presence. It was an amazing thing to watch.
Well, it gives the proof to that proverb that if you want to be friendly or be known friendly, show yourself friendly. What a common sense that is.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah.
It seems like we're kind of devoid of that in this generation. I'm not just talking about politics. I'm talking about incivility. You and I had a talk a couple of years ago about civility, and I also followed up with that question with Oz Guinness about how the world's devolving because we empower the loud voices and we don't respect those who are still and quiet and truthful and kind.
Right.
And we have to recapture that ethic within the body of Christ especially and not tolerate abuse, verbal or otherwise, from any of our members.
Right.
I think about it kind of like a spiritual Me Too movement. We have to realize that we've been abused by words, we've abused words, and we have to stop doing that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Again, the word that comes up all the time is humility.
Mm.
And in Graham's life, the virtue of humility completely transformed people who had often been strict and severe critics of him in different parts of the world. And he just disarmed them by being his godly self and by not punching back at sharp criticism. It was an extraordinary achievement.
David, I'd like to continue this conversation for a few more minutes, if you're willing, because I want to dig a little more into the legacy of Billy Graham, because now that begins.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and end this program right now with a thank you to David Aikman for this introduction to the life of Billy Graham and the importance of godly heroes that are not turned into idols. Thank you for being with us today on Compassionate Radio, my friend.
Thank you.
And thank you, Dr. David Aikman, for joining us on today's edition of Compassion Radio. Don't miss tomorrow's follow-up conversation. Bram has one more important word to share about a certain upcoming anniversary date, and we want you to help us celebrate. All of that and more after this from Morningsong.
Give me Jesus, only Jesus. Silver or gold, I'd rather be his.
Here at Compassion Radio, we certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing, for it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. We don't know what kind of resources are going to come in month to month. We have no way to orchestrate that. We really are, at the discretion of God and the Holy Spirit, prompting the hearts of people and their faithful response. This isn't a business. This is a ministry. And frankly, we are at the discretion of God. If the Lord chooses to bring more, we have more. If He chooses, for whatever reason, to bring in less, we have less. But it seems in the end, God has continually laid upon the hearts of faithful people what we need. This generous, gracious giving does not go unnoticed. To that end, here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
In just a few more days, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to the generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to lead this ministry in a new era, a new century, and new generations of listening activist partners. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. What is in the works is going to seriously amaze some of our most loyal supporters and inspire a whole new level of compassionate action and ministry. All of these things are directly related to the faithful support of partners, and that means you. Would you consider a special anniversary gift to the Lord for the work of Compassion Radio this month, even today? We have a truly unique mandate, you know this, to connect you with the work and witness of the worldwide kingdom of God. We're not just one agency doing good work in one place. We're the eyes and ears of the church in every corner of the globe. We bring you kingdom news that can transform your life, but we can only get those stories and bring them to you if you send us. Thank you for remembering us today with your special gifts and offerings. They are essential to our current work and to the future of Compassion Radio. Please give as generously as you can, and please do it today. And I could say with confidence of years witnessing this myself, God is truly pleased when we reach out and reach deep. God bless you, friends. Jimmy has some info on the unique and special thank you this month for your gift of support.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the Book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio. Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.